This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Le Maire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talkin' is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome. This is Hobbo alongside Frank Maloney, and we're still here trying to get up off the floor after a difficult week. But welcome to Virginia fans, ACC fans, and sports fans in general. You're listening to Who's Talking, our show tonight. We've got Dave Glenn, ACC media specialist, used to be with the ACC Sports Journal. And then later in the show, we got UVA wrestling coach Steve Garland. So, Frank, a rather disappointing week for the Hoos. Two teams that we probably should have beaten but just didn't show up for some reason.
Well, for certain, the Cavaliers were favored in both games by sizable margins, and clearly there was no fire. No fire in the belly, no intensity, and you know they missed Darian Atkins, maybe just as much for his loud voice on defense, calling out the picks and his fire in the huddle. And, you know, there is something to be said for a team that goes about their business in a business-like fashion. And Malcolm Brogdon exhibits that in every game. However, when push comes to shove and you're on the road and maybe the building is only half full, sometimes you need some guys in there that can shake things up. And they got to get in the ear of these players and let them know that these games matter. I mean, Virginia is now 1-2 in the ACC, and certainly in worst case scenario, they should be 2-1.
Yeah, and I think Dan Bonner made a point last week about not necessarily the balance of the league, but the fact of the matter is, I think maybe with the possible exception of Boston College, I think Boston College is really going to struggle this year. They're winless in the league and under 500 overall. But you go up and down the rest of the league, if you play in their building, you better be ready to play. And I think the home team almost inevitably is going to be the favorite unless you're playing against a North Carolina that has overwhelming talent, possibly Duke, Pitt yet to be determined. But I was just looking. Pitt's only played one road game. Virginia, in essence, has played four road games and lost three of them. So they better figure out a way. Well, first and foremost, they better figure out a way to play better
in the first half
against a really good Miami team tomorrow night. Miami has great guards, and Virginia's had trouble in some of these recent games getting out and getting a hand in the face of shooters from the perimeter, and certainly with Miami's guard play, Cavs better be ready. But at least tomorrow night, you got the home crowd that gets you kind of pumped up and gets the adrenaline flowing.
Get you some energy. But, you know, speaking of Miami, they've moved from 12th up to 8th in the AP poll, and they are 9th in the USA Today poll. UVA has now fallen to 13th in the AP poll and still 11th in the USA Today coaches poll. And, you know, I just didn't see these two games coming. I mean, I thought that these games would be dogfights, but I didn't expect Virginia to score 21 measly freaking points in that first game down in Bleaksburg. Is no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse for a team with this much talent to come out there and just commit 9 turnovers against the Hokies and then almost did the same thing against the Yellow Jackets. And these teams don't play great defense.
Well,
they hustled. I give them credit for hustling, but they don't play great defense. And all you got to do is look at their records judge that.
You just have to know when you go to Blacksburg, you're going to get the Hokies' best shot. I don't care what their record is. They get fired up to play Virginia in basketball, and sometimes I'm always fearful that Virginia looks at Virginia Tech and the ACC basketball as another conference game and not necessarily an intense rival game, not at least the way the Hokies do. And give the Hokies credit. They played better than we did, and Virginia miraculously almost came back. You know, in some ways, Perantes, if he hadn't taken the ball to the rim and had pulled up and taken a three, maybe they would have stolen one down there. But
Or maybe if the referees had called the obvious foul, at the foul line shooting free throws, and maybe you have a tie game going into OT.
Possible, but you're expecting a lot for the refs to make that call in the final seconds. A lot of times they have a tendency to swallow the whistle
Time out. What's fair is fair. And I'm not going to begin for a second to rationalize. We've watched plenty of games where Duke, Carolina, or whomever has got the ball at the end, and you know if that guy gets touched, he's going to get the whistle.
Well, that's a good point. Virginia went down there as the favorite.
Number four seed.
And ranked.
Number four ranked team in the country.
And you're right.
Where's the respect?
If put Carolina or Duke in a similar situation, the whistle's going to probably get blown. But nevertheless.
You know what? And for that matter, Virginia got whistled for a slew of fouls in that game. Some of them of the debatable type, and some that were well-deserved. I noticed that Tech got called for fewer fouls but played rougher and is known for playing a little bit rougher. I don't care if they're playing in their own gym. If they are not as good and they are not as skilled, they shouldn't be getting the benefit of the doubt, particularly at the end of the game. That's poppycock.
Well, but it goes back to what you said, 16 turnovers in the game and scoring only 21 points in the first half.
Let's face it.
Virginia needs to do better than that. They need to execute better on the offensive end, need to make some shots. Malcolm Brogdon in the two games last week was 2 of 14 from outside the three-point line, and that just is not going to get it done.
Well, half the problem watching Brogdon, he's taking too many shots off balance. And the first thing Tony Bennett, who is an exceptional shooter, needs to do is he needs to talk to his All-American and say, listen, get your feet and hips square to the freaking basket.
Well, you got the fundamentals, but you also, my guess is teams are really gearing to stop him and to prevent him from getting good looks. But I think we got Dave Glenn on the line, so go ahead with the introduction.
All right, quick introduction. First off, we are delighted to have Dave Glenn on the show tonight. Dave is an expert on the ACC basketball. I've enjoyed his show, which has been tremendous. He's also been an excellent writer on the ACC Sports Journal, and he's also penned a few books. And if you got our newsletter, which goes out to about 4,000 Wahoos, alums, and all, you'll see the list of those books. But I love listening to Dave Glenn, particularly in post-game press conferences, ask the questions that many of us would like to ask. He always hits the nail on the head. And without further ado, Dave, welcome to Who's Talking.
Hey, Frank, Jim, great to be with you guys again. Thanks for the nice introduction.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. Let's just look at the ACC. Frank and I are obviously bemoaning the Virginia performance the last two games, but as you look at the league, maybe Pittsburgh a little bit of a surprise so far, and how good is Miami as they get ready to come to Charlottesville tomorrow night?
Yeah, Jim, I kind of started this year with three teams on the top tier, and none of them has fallen in my eyes, UVA and Duke and UNC. They've all stubbed their toes, but if you look at the full body of work and their potential, I think they still belong on that top tier. What's interesting is that Miami and Louisville and maybe Pittsburgh are in the process of trying to join that top tier, and Miami has one of the best players in this league in Sheldon McClellan. He doesn't have as big a name as a Malcolm Brogdon at UVA or a Marcus Page at UNC, but he is an unbelievably efficient perimeter player. He'll hit 90% from the line, 40-plus percent from threes, 50-plus percent from the field, which is not easy to do as a perimeter player. So he leads the Hurricanes and makes them a legitimate contender. And a guy like Damian Lee, who's a transfer at Louisville, is leading Rick Pitino's squad. So you obviously need stars to win in this league, preferably more than one. And UVA and UNC and Duke have two or three each. And Louisville and Miami and Pitt are kind of on that next tier, playing really good basketball, but having some wonder, you know, if they can sustain the top 25 to the start to the season they've had so far.
Now, is Carolina cut above the rest? And I've also looked at their schedule, now that we have the unbalanced schedule, looks like Carolina has a pretty favorable schedule through the regular season. Do they look like the team to beat right now?
To me, but barely. You know, it's kind of like 1A Carolina, 1B UVA, 1C Duke, because, you know, that Malcolm Brogdon, Anthony Gill, London Perentes trio is plenty good enough to win any championship or finish first place in any league. The Tar Heels have their own trio. Bryce Johnson's playing the best basketball of his life in the post. Marcus Paige is finally healthy. So as a senior, he's playing some of the best basketball of his All-American caliber career on the perimeter. And then depending on the night, you know, it's a Kennedy Meeks sometimes for the Tar Heels. It's a Justin Jackson sometimes. This weekend at Syracuse, it was Isaiah Hicks off the bench. So it's still, to me, Carolina, UVA, and Duke on that very top tier. And, yeah, the Tar Heels have so many quality players. The schedule you mentioned also will help, obviously, any pursuit of a first-place finish in the ACC. But they're playing with unbelievable confidence offensively, especially the Tar Heels. They just have to tighten the screws defensively if they're going to reach their ceiling.
You know, speaking of that, Dave, watching the Tar Heels in the last few games, there has been minimal concern by the Tar Heels to play really what I call hard-nosed defense. It's almost like they want to get the ball either on a steal, a rebound, or even a ball going through the net and get back up the floor because teams can't stop them.
You're right. I think that's a fair assessment and a fair criticism. The Tar Heels, you know, in part, everybody recruits differently. For example, Rick Pitino and Jim Boeheim recruit in many ways with defense in mind first. I mean, all coaches value both offense and defense, but it's just a matter of philosophy and principle. Syracuse, Louisville, and some others think defense first. Roy Williams in Carolina think offense first. So when they sign a Marcus Paige on the perimeter, a Bryce Johnson inside, or even a Kennedy Meeks, none of those guys is an over-the-top great defender, but they're all unbelievably skilled offensive players. So part of it is by design. I think what bothers Roy Williams is not so much the way his roster is built. It's more so the Tar Heels don't always win those 50-50 loose balls.
Yeah.
They don't always look like they care about the sort of intense defense that Tony Bennett has helped make famous at UVA or that Mike Krzyzewski has helped make famous at Duke. There's an ability there more offensively than defensively, but it's the want-to for the Tar Heels at the defensive end of the floor. Roy Williams is still trying to talk those guys into the idea that, yeah, they can beat many opponents with more offense than anything else, but if they want to win championships, they need to upgrade their defense too.
Well, you know, what did they score? 105 down at Florida State last week.
That was a crazy game.
You don't need to worry much about defense if you can score 105. Dave, you know, you're helping uplift our spirits here with this top tier talk of Virginia. As we look at the Virginia Miami game tomorrow night, what do you think Virginia needs to do in order to get that W tomorrow night?
I think they just need more from their supporting cast. You know, I saw that game in Blacksburg, the surprising loss to the Hokies, and I also watched that game in Atlanta. And I know Malcolm Brogdon was not at his best against the Hokies. Maybe London Perentes was. Maybe Anthony Gill was not. But that, to me, is a rock-solid, as good as it gets in America, Big Three. What has wavered a bit at times for the Cavaliers is players 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
And I think, you know, Isaiah Wilkins has taken some nice steps in the right direction so far this year. And at times, Adarius Thompson has been, you know, part of the solution. But they need more out of those guys, plus Mike Toby and others. So it's that supporting cast that's sort of the missing link for the Cavaliers in this good but not elite start. And that's where Tony Bennett knows he has work to do between now and March Madness.
You know, I couldn't agree more with that assessment, Dave. And we are speaking with Dave Glenn of the Dave Glenn Show. Dave, you know, in that last game against Georgia Tech, Darius Thompson, 14 minutes. Jack Salt, 8 minutes. Jared Reuter, a freshman, 5 minutes. Isaiah Wilkins, 15. Evan Nolte, the forgotten senior, 16 minutes. Devin Hall, 10 minutes. Obviously, Tony was trying to everybody that he could find, trying to light a fire in somebody. And, you know, I just wonder if, you know, with the new rules and the, you know, the reluctance or the way they've tried to had to sort of reconfigure the pack line defense, whether the players, you know, are afraid to play the same hard-nosed style that has been so effective over the last 3 or 4 years.
It's interesting. You know, and I see some issues around the league with depth and that increased concern with foul trouble. NC State, for example, saw itself as, you know, a possible NCAA tournament team this year, but they went into the season with a shorthanded roster, 9 guys.
Yep.
They have a freshman who's not quite ready to play, and they had an injury. So now you're down to 7 scholarship players really available on a nightly basis. Well, if one or two guys gets into foul trouble, now you're really scraping bottom. So I think there is a little bit of that with the Cavaliers. It's also in play with a handful of other teams around the ACC. I mean, the good news is Tony Bennett's probably as good a teacher of defense as there is. So there's time for not all those guys are young. You mentioned Nolte. He knows the system.
Right.
Toby knows the system. But most of the rest of those guys are still trying to learn that defense as it's configured with this new kind of enforcement by the Zebras. So I think there's time to get that straightened out. And, again, I've seen more good than bad from the Cavaliers. They're not the only team that has some wrinkles to smooth out.
All right, Dave, stay with us. We're going to carry you over the break if it's okay. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking. We'll be back in just a few minutes. More of Dave Glenn on Who's Talking.